I really love the fact that we ended last year, a challenging year, with those words, "Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus." And it's great that we enter into 2021 with that same thought, ringing in our ears that hope has a name, his name is Jesus. As you know, we're going to look together over the coming months, hopefully, into the Gospels. And personally, I felt a really good place to start is to focus on Jesus. Thanks, Sue, for that wonderful word about focusing. We're going to focus on Jesus this morning. After all, he's the main character of the Gospels. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the source of that hope that we've just been talking about. As I thought about this and as I waited on God, I really felt God lead me to the scripture in John chapter 1. And I've encouraged you to read that, but let's read it together now. John chapter 1, verses just 1 to 14. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." People have written books, theological books, on just this chapter alone. I've only got 20 minutes. I'm not going to be able to give this chapter real justice, but I hope that what God has given me this morning will be a good platform to moving forward as we study further into the Gospels. I have to say thank you to John Piper. I'm a great fan of John Piper. He's a wonderful modern teacher of God's word, and some of what he's written about this chapter has really, really inspired me for today. I want to highlight just three main things about Jesus from this scripture. Firstly, that Jesus is God in every sense of the word. Secondly, that Jesus is the light and the life of the world who shines in the darkness. And thirdly, Jesus wants us to know God, know him relationally. Now, before we get into that first point, you'll notice from this scripture that John, constantly refers to the Word. And that phrase is from the Greek term logos, which is often used to refer to God's written word, the Bible. We'll have often heard me say and others say, we talk about the Logos word of God, we talk about the Rhema, the now word of God. But in this context, the word, the Logos, has a much deeper meaning. God has always revealed himself to us through the spoken word. Right back in creation, the creation was spoken into being. Then throughout the Old Testament, God spoke to us through the law and through the prophets. Even today, God continues to speak to us through the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But back then, in 2000 years ago, we have really the ultimate expression of God through Jesus Christ, the Word. Jesus is the Word, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." The most important thing I think we can take away from today is Jesus is God. And this is my first point I want to make. Jesus is God in every sense of that word. I know we all know this, you know, those of us have been Christians for so many years, you know, this is something, it's kind of obvious to us, we've known it all along, but I really want to try and spell it out today from this scripture, so that when we look at Jesus in the coming weeks, as we look at him in the gospel stories and look at him in his teaching, we have a much richer image of what we're looking at. So what John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, John immediately positions Jesus in a timeline. He was with God in the beginning. And this phrase, in the beginning, this directly links back to Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What John is saying here is that before anything was created, before there was any kind of created matter whatsoever, there was Jesus, the Word, the Son of God. So when we look at Jesus, when we see Jesus over the coming weeks in these gospel stories, let's not forget that Jesus existed before his birth in Bethlehem. I know this is obvious, but sometimes we can so easily just kind of see the man. And I want us to see the man, but I also want us to see God. Before Jesus became flesh and blood and walked amongst us and preached and taught, you know, he was with God in the beginning, before the world was even created. But John also says this, is as well as the Word was with God, we read that the Word was God. John is making a really plain and clear statement here. Jesus is God. And to help us grasp this, John goes on to talk about the work of creation. God created everything through him. He says nothing was created except through him. And this is a really, really important verse. You know, have you ever heard a child say, or maybe you've said this to yourself, said this to somebody else. Have you ever heard a child say, you know, where did God come from, or who created God? And the answer, of course, is, well, no one created God. God has always existed. And I know this can be somewhat a kind of a dissatisfying answer, but it is essentially what defines God. You know, God is the one who has always been. He's eternal. He's God. But what about Jesus? You know, because we have birth of Jesus, it makes it feel like Jesus didn't always exist. And you know, many religions, you know, struggle with this concept of the deity of Jesus. They will say that he was a good man, or they would say he was a prophet. There are some people who would look at this scripture in John chapter 1 and say it shouldn't say the Word. It should say that he was a Word or a God. You know, John doesn't really allow this line of thinking, because what he says is, nothing was created except through him. So if everything had to be created through Jesus, then Jesus needed to exist before creation. John was saying Jesus is God. He always has been. Now, this is one of the most foundational truths of the Christian faith, which is why I'm really trying to emphasize. You know, Jesus is fully God and he's fully man at the same time. It's a mystery. I know it's really hard sometimes to get your head around, and lots of people have written theological essays and texts on this concept alone. Jesus is fully God and fully man. It's a mystery, but it is one of the foundational truths of the Christian faith. You know, within the Trinity, you know, we have God. God is one essence, one substance, but there's three distinct persons. And so when we look at Jesus, we must not just look at him as a man. We do see him as a man, you know, but we must see him as God in the flesh. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is God in every sense of the word. But he goes on to say that, you know, that Jesus is the light and the life of the world. He says in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Many translations say it can never overcome it. And this is where our study of this scripture kind of links into this wonderful phrase, hope has a name. His name is Jesus. I think we probably would all agree, we're living in dark times at this moment in time. And it feels to me like the world is just getting darker. And so what is this light that John is referring to? Well, the answer is clear as he introduces John the Baptist. And so why is it clear from John the Baptist? Because, you know, John says that John the Baptist is not the light, but he's come to point us to the one who is the light, that is Jesus. He says, this one who is the true light came into the world that he created, but the world rejected him. And Jesus, and John emphasizes this even more in John chapter 3, verse 19. He says, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. You see, Jesus enters this darkness which represents evil. It represents unbelief, lostness, hopelessness, death, despair. You know, it sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? But in many ways, it describes what the world is becoming more and more today. And John asserts that that the darkness, it cannot and it will not overcome this incredible light. You know, many have tried to extinguish this light over many centuries, but they have failed, and they will always fail, because God's word tells us that darkness will not overcome the light. That is wonderful, wonderful hope. How many of you listened to the Queen's speech? Wave your hand if you listened to the Queen's speech on Christmas Day. Wonderful. I listened to it too. Isn't it incredible that she also talked about Jesus being the light of the world? She talked about Florence Nightingale, didn't she? Shining a lamp of hope across the world. You know, there's something really special about light. But you know, there's something even more special about the light of Jesus, or Jesus being the light. You know, Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 12, he says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, that phrase, that expression, the light of life, is incredible. You know, the light of Jesus, it's not just like some lamppost or a torch that you switch on just to illuminate the road where you're going, and you switch it off again when you've got to your destination. You know, this is a light of life. It's living and it brings life to everything it shines on. I guess if you like, you know, this light is much more like the sun in the sky, you know, that shines constantly brightly. And, it brings life to our planet. It causes plants to grow so that animals can feed. You know, it's the whole source of life. And you can see why in some ways people worship the sun, the S-U-N in the sky. But of course, the sun is not God. Jesus, the Son of God, is God. He is the one that created that sun in the sky. And Jesus is the ultimate source of our life and our light. You know, light extinguishes darkness and it brings life to the lifeless. You know, hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the source of our life. He sustains our life. He's the source of our hope. And this brings me to my final point. You know, Jesus wants us to know God, and he wants us to know him personally and relationally. He said in verse 10, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They're reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. You know, this is the gospel message. This is what we preach about. This is the good news. This is the life that God wants to give to each one of us. And it's not a physical life. It's not a natural life of just breathing and eating and going about our daily work. You know, this is the light of life that God breathes into us, just like he breathed into Adam and Eve at the very beginning, so we can become eternal beings, children of God. Everything that God originally wanted us to be, and he always wants us to be, it's always what it was meant to be. In John 14, 46, he says, I've come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. You see, everything Jesus did, and we're going to be reading about this as we study the Gospels, everything he did, everything he taught whilst he was on earth, was to bring you and me and everybody out of darkness and into his wonderful light and into an incredible relationship with him. That's what it was all about. You know, this is the message of hope. I love the way Paul sums it up in Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. He says this: the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him were all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him. And listen to this: to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, and by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the gospel message, that through Jesus, through his blood, through his death and resurrection, we, each one of us, can be reconciled to God and placed back in a personal relationship with him. This is the hope that you and I, each one of us, need to share with people around us, within the communities that God has placed us, those who are in despair and feeling hope and don't know where that what's happening, where life and where they're going. We need to point them and focus them onto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that they too can be brought into a relationship with Jesus. Now, at this time, the whole world, isn't it? It's pinning its salvation on a coronavirus vaccine. It's the way out of this crisis, we hear people say, and it's true. And it's fantastic, isn't it? It's fantastic news that the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine has been approved by the UK government for use in this country. And we're going to be relieved, aren't we, to see, everybody and all the vulnerable people in particular receiving this vaccine as soon as possible. But let's not forget, it's not enough to simply know about the vaccine, that it's available and being distributed in hospitals and service and surgeries. It has to be received, doesn't it? It has to be injected into our arm in order for us to get the protection that vaccine provides from the virus. In the same way, just knowing that Jesus has descended from heaven and entered into our dark world for you and for me, just knowing that fact is not enough. We have to, each one of us, receive Jesus into our lives in order to become children of light, children of God, spiritually alive and in relationship with him. So, in summary, I've just scratched the surface of this incredible chapter and the incredible person who Jesus is. I won't have done it justice, but I do hope that you'd have got something from this chapter. And I would encourage you to go away and read John chapter 1 and continue reading the Gospels and ask God to reveal to you the person of Jesus Christ, who he really was and what he's really teaching was all about. And to dig out your concordances, dig out your Bible, your study Bibles and your commentaries. Let's really dig deep into the Gospel and let's really focus on Jesus. I want to finish my word today by playing a video that I've played in church many times now. It's a famous sermon from Dr. S.M. Lockridge. It's called "That's My King." I know you recognize it. The full sermon is over an hour, so even he struggled really to describe who this incredible Jesus was. But there's a 3.5 minute cut from that sermon, which I think will sum up everything that I've been trying to say today. Thank you.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah, he always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my...